first lesson for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at the 21st verse. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its peoples are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at the 16th verse. When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to the others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once again, I greet you in the magnificent name of Jesus this morning. I want to start off by thanking the elders for taking over for me last week when I had the flu and wasn't able to be here to serve you. It's nice to know that I have them to rely on, to pitch in even at the last minute, to glorify God and bless you all in your worship service here. I especially want to thank Dan Lucas for taking over the early service, and Leif Dorn for taking over this service, and especially Ray Bardill for preaching the message that he preached to you all last week. I told Ray from the reports that I got back to me about his message and listening to it on the recording, I really appreciate him taking us back to the basics of the gospel of Jesus. We need that basic reminding from time to time of just how much God loves us, that he would allow his only son to die in our place so that we would have the chance to be in paradise with him one day. Man, that's love. But sometimes we overlook that love. Sometimes we kind of take it for granted. Sometimes we need to be reminded, like Ray did when he brought that out in his message last week. Ray showed us his passion for bringing out the love of Jesus, the love that Jesus has for all of us. You know, when you really love something, people tell you that you have a passion for it. So much so that people can tell without even telling them what it is. They can tell what your passion is. Because it shows. It shows in you. Now, if you think about it, you know, kind of on a secular level, you know, there's this guy, and we all know the guy, that loves FSU football, right? And you don't ask him a question about FSU football without being prepared to sit down with him for 30 minutes while he goes over statistics and the latest observations about recruiting and so forth. As a matter of fact, even if you don't mention FSU football, it's going to come up in the conversation one way or another, because that's his passion coming out. Or the lady that loves to read. And she'll be glad to sit down with you for 2 hours to tell you the latest give and take on the latest novel that she may be reading. And even if you start off the conversation with something else, invariably that latest book is going to come up because that's her passion. It shows in her. Well, in the same way, God calls us to be passionate in telling and showing other people about the love of Jesus, like Ray mentioned in his message last week. You know, if you reread our lessons today, you'll see passion in our lessons. You will. For example, in our second lesson, Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, he expressed his passion for having to preach the gospel. You know, he said, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." And he tells us that it means so much to him that he has become an everyman, as it were, so that it's easier for him to reach the people that he comes in contact with every day. He says, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. That's passion for the gospel. That's the passion coming out. And God wants all of us to have that passion when we tell others about Jesus, when we show others that love that Jesus has, the Jesus that we know and love. And then in our gospel lesson today, Jesus shows us his passion too. From Mark 1, even though Simon Peter didn't really get it, you know, he didn't get what Jesus was trying to do. Peter was impressed with Jesus' power to heal people, to drive out demons. And he saw Jesus' popularity growing and growing rapidly. He thought that was a good thing. He went to Jesus and said, everybody's looking for you. Kind of like, isn't that great? Jesus, however, was not interested in capitalizing on his popularity. But he wanted to continue preaching in other places. That's why he came. But Peter didn't quite understand that. Jesus didn't come just to heal the sick. He didn't come just to cast out demons. He didn't come to make a kingdom of this world, like many of the Jews thought the Messiah would do. He came to take our sins to the cross. He came to pay the price that delivers the whole world from sin and from death. He came to fulfill his Father's plan for our salvation. That was his focus. That was his priority. That was his passion. And that passion showed in the way he cared for the people that he loved. Healing the sick, driving out demons, teaching his disciples, all the while working toward that cross at Calvary. He only cared about doing that for which he came. He didn't care about trying to please everybody. He didn't want to waste any more time than he didn't want to waste any time. That was his passion. And it showed in what he said, and it showed in what he did. And anybody could see that if they took the time to look. You know, when we're passionate about something, we talk about it, right? We in some way show people about it. It's evident in us. You know, some people might say, you can see it in your eyes. If we know God, and if we truly consider what he's done for us, who he is and what he's done for us, we too can become passionate to tell others about this wonderful and almighty God that we have. In our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, Isaiah tells us about this almighty God that we have. He said, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them forth each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, none of them is missing. Almighty God, creator of everything. And then Isaiah tells us a little bit about what God does for us. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But the greatest gift that he gave to all of us, as Ray brought out last week when he quoted Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." How can you not appreciate a gift like that? How can you not want to thank him for what he's done for us and for loving us that much? How can you not want to be passionate and wanting other people to see all of the things that we see through Jesus that God has done? You know, Paul, in his letter to the Roman church, he started off by reviewing all of the things that God had done for the Israelites, and of course for us too. And then he went into all the mercies that he's shown to the Israelites. And then he says this. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Wow. Offering our entire bodies to God as a thank you to him. We shouldn't be surprised at that. I mean, after all, we have the third person of the Trinity living in us, the Holy Spirit of God. When we received faith in Jesus, God gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to sustain us. Shouldn't other people see that Holy Spirit in you? What's the old saying? The eyes are the windows to the soul. You know, the implication there is that you can understand where a person's coming from. You can understand what, you know, some of their thoughts and their emotions, and you know, you can understand their passions by looking in their eyes. Now, Jesus expressed that kind of theme this way. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be filled full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, Jesus was talking more about financial matters here, but the idea fits. If you reflect a passion for Jesus, you will reflect a light, and people will see him in you. But if you're filled with anger, if you're filled with hate, if you're filled with discontent, if you're filled with things that are not Jesus, then people will see a darkness in you. Is that what we want people to see? No, of course not. So how do we change that? Well, we can start by eliminating the competition. And what do we mean by that? Right after Jesus talked about our eyes being lamps of the body, he said this: "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Money being representing everything else in the world that is worldly, that is not from God. If the world and all that's physically in it are in competition with your attention and loyalty to Jesus, then we're going to have a divided heart, folks. We're not going to have the same passion for him as we do for the other things, the things of this world, the things that are, well, not him. But if we eliminate those things, or if we put them in first priority, we can have a passion for him. We'll be drawn closer to him, and we'll reflect him more and more. So what would some of those things be that are detrimental? Well, how about those things that take up our time and our energy so that we don't have the inclination or the will to serve our wonderful God? What about, you know, and I'm not talking about just evil things and the, you know, sinful things. We know enough to stay away from those things. What I'm talking about is the myriad of perfectly fine pursuits that come up, maybe on a Sunday morning, that we allow take us away from worshiping our wonderful and our loving God. Maybe it's the myriad of our friends that, you know, bring up these things and want to guilt us into going with them to those pursuits. How about being involved with secular organizations or secular events that keep us from maybe going to that Bible class or maybe even reading our Bible every day like we want to? We just don't have time. Or how about, you know, our pursuit of possessions? How about our pursuit of the means to buy those possessions? How about our pursuit of popularity? How about our pursuit of physical or emotional satisfaction? Whatever it may be. John addressed this issue in his first letter. He said, "Do not love the world or anything in it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Now, James talked about this too, but he put it more bluntly. James said, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in all of us?" We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He should be seen in our eyes. And God promises that if we pursue Him, if we put Him number one on our priority list, He'll not only provide for us everything that we need in this life, He's going to give us the desires of our heart as well. Jesus continued in Matthew 6, He said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, if you read Psalm 37, it puts it this way. Psalm 37, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." What a promise we have from our loving God. And so, we have some questions for us today. What's your priority? What's your focus? What's your passion? Is it Jesus? Can people see Him in your life? Do we talk about Him? Do our actions speak about Him? Do we love and care for others like He did and like He wants us to do too? Does what we do reflect Him? Can people see Him in our eyes? Just some things to think about as we worship our wonderful God this morning. Amen.